Good morning, Power Hour Nation. So good to be with you on this really very special day, at least for me. I hope it is for you. I'm your, of course, honored host, Daniel Brigman. And each and every one of you is special to us, and we believe in you, and we care for you, and we want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intended you to be. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour radio show, thepowerhour.com, thepowermall.com are our two websites. And with that manifesto, happy, healthy, successful, free, today's broadcast, we have no guest scheduled. Uncle Kevin's will be here. He's not a guest. Uncle Kevin's a regular fixture.
Family.
Literally. You know, somebody asked me one time, he said, is that really your uncle? I said, yeah.
Are you guys just putting on?
Yeah, just putting on for a show or whatever. Yeah, he really is my uncle. We really didn't talk for 6 months going over 9/11.
That's a true story. That's absolutely true. I told that story to somebody the other night, and they said, no, you didn't really. I said, yeah, we did. I just couldn't wrap my head around that concept that some American would let kill 3,000 people or 3,500 people.
Let a building be destroyed,
yeah,
or planes or whatever.
I just
whatever.
Wrap my head around it.
You know, that's a great. Anyway, to finish my thought, what I was saying, along with that manifest, that's really the manifesto of the Power Hour, along with We Will Not Stop and, you know, It's All About the Truth. Those are kind of our taglines, our call signs, our whatever. And Buy from the Good Guys, I guess that's your call sign. That's you guys' tagline. Buy from the Good Guys, support the good guys. But, you know, how do you answer that? How can you best? And that's what racks my brain. And Kevin, we talk about this a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, we go over stories or even guests are coming on. We may, you know, what are we trying to bring out of this? What is it that this guest is going to say that is going to improve somebody's life or change them or enhance them or whatever? Mm-hmm. And I've thought long and hard, even before doing this broadcast, meaning the Power Hour, before I was ever involved with the Power Hour, about, you know, how did we get to the point we're at? How can we change things in the United States? How can we solve the problems that we really, most of us listening, probably all of us one way or another, we feel unsettled, we feel bothered about something. How can we solve these? And I also look around, and as I began, you know, Kevin and I wrote the book Forever 1776, and as I delved into that, talk a little bit, maybe, Kev, when we were writing that book, what was kind of the experience for you? You were writing, you know, local newspapers.
Yeah, I was at a newspaper article column. Wasn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
A circulation of 50,000.
Yeah.
And little old me, barely write.
Yeah.
But the editor, he was a great guy, you know, and he let me write about anything I wanted. And I was trying to right the wrongs that as I saw them in America, you know, about the cops aren't, you know, there to help us. You know, this thing that started out was that Rolling Thunder when a hundred police cars come rolling into our little town. We had just had a little town and 100 police cars come in and, him being the editor, he writes, what a great thing it is to have all these cops coming in from another jurisdiction to save us. And I wrote a letter to the editor and said, no, this is not good. This is not good. This is like Hitler rolling into somebody, you know, with
tanks.
100 tanks to crush his citizens. And he took a fancy to that article, and that started the whole thing. Then offered me to write for him, and I brought up all sorts of stuff about the Constitution, which was awesome. He knew nothing about it.
And he was, this is a decent guy, real nice guy.
Yeah, smart.
Smart. Educated.
Yeah.
And he didn't know anything about the Constitution.
He didn't know anything about it. Is this true? He'd ask me, is this true? I said, yeah. And then, you know.
Which was the article about, Was it about the UN reserve, the statue? Was it the Statue of Liberty? Is the United Nations reserve or something like?
Yeah.
He said, "Oh, that's BS.
That's baloney." Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what he said. Well, he didn't say baloney. He was a lot more forceful than that. He'd do that about just about everything. You know, he'd read it and look at me and
that's
say,
nonsense.
Yeah, say some expletive, you know, and I'd have everything footnoted. And I said, "Read the footnotes. Read the footnotes." And by the end, before I left.
Well, really, he left.
Yeah, left. That's what stopped it. Yeah, they were forcing him out. I don't know why. Maybe he was forcing him out because I was let me write.
He let you write things.
pissed too many people off. He goes, "What are you writing about today, Kev? Or next there article?" I said, "I think it's going to be aliens." And he goes, "You believe in aliens? I believe in aliens."
So he turned
360 degrees by the time he left.
Well, that was interesting. And then the new people took over, and they didn't have
any room for me.
Any room for you at all, even though your column was popular.
Oh, yeah.
People liked it. I mean, people, you know, people a lot really, of people, they would write in, and they really look forward to having something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but you got, that was... Geez, what is it, 7 years ago now, probably, when he stopped? Because it was about the time we started writing this book, that maybe 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
Time goes by quickly.
It
but
sure does.
The impetus for the book really started it was the Javon Belcher, I think his name was, the linebacker for Kansas City, who shot his girlfriend and himself. And then... Bob Costas got on national TV and said, basically,
we want
America needs to disarm. And that was on Monday Night Football. And of course, you know, I love sports, or I loved them. I certainly, back then I'd watch them. Now I watch so little, relatively, but when he called for that, I saw red. And, I was helping you some on some of your articles, and I said, let's, maybe a little article about this and blah, blah, blah. And so one article, you got just basically 600 words that you can write for these articles.
I could write all as many as I wanted. Remember?
Well, it started
it was
out.
1,200.
So it started out 600, right?
I took up 2 pages one time in one of the articles, and he just wiped all those other people off. Remember what I was writing about, but I got writing and I couldn't stop. And they give you 1,200 words.
Wow.
And,
okay.
And then I took up 2 pages in the newspaper.
Well, that is so good. That's such a cool story.
Yeah, he's a good. He was a good guy, and he said, "I can't believe that."
What was his name?
Snyder or something like that.
I can't remember his name. Well, he said, "I can't believe, sorry, I cut you off."
Yeah, he says, just about every article I wrote, he didn't know about it, you know, whether it was chemtrails, whether it was vaccines, whether it was whatever, you know, he didn't know about it.
The limitations of the article, you're right about guns and history, start getting into this, and then it lit something fire over me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is a book. I don't know. You know, so it's one of those things. I'm going to write a book. Mm-hmm. That's it. I know, you have no idea if you're going to sell to one person. You have no idea to get a publisher. You have no idea.
Get something under your skin. You got to do it.
Right. I felt compelled to do it.
And I ended every article in a founder's quote.
That's cool.
He just thought that was just slick. Spencer, that was the guy's name. Yeah. He was a good guy.
Spencer, God bless you, Spencer, wherever you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
He
said, "I don't believe a word you said when we first started, but I believe in your right to write it, and I like different people."
It's provocative.
Yeah, different opinions. Yeah. And he says, you footnote everything, so, you know. And by the time I left, you believe in aliens, I believe in aliens. And that was right in front of the police chief. There was the police chief sitting right there. Him. And I come walking in the door. And he goes, "Kev, what are you going to be writing about?" I said, "Aliens, I think." And he says, "You believe in aliens? I believe in that." Police chief's eyes got about this big.
He probably was there to talk about you.
Probably. I got a general warrant for her.
Yeah. General warrant. That's hilarious. Where we are in this country and the times, and, you know, you have time to, you know, consider these things. Some people don't, but, you know, you're retired and you look at the world, what have you. What do you feel? What is pressing on you when it comes? You think about America.
What is pressing about it? We got to get back to our roots. Absolutely, we got to get back to the Bill of Rights, Constitution.
I'm aghast that there are openly socialist people.
Yeah,
running for.
That's our schools. Absolutely.
It is our schools. I mean, we're going to get into this a little bit. So I'm going to. Is there anything final you want to say? I'm going to, you know, I have literally about 5 books here, literally. And one I can't find, and I'm going to find during the break. Let me tell you the books I have in front of me here. I got The 5,000-Year Leap, which is by Cleon Skousen. It's a newer version, which has an appendix. I won't get too much in the body of the book, but he actually has an appendix where he talks about the religion of America. From a discourse he gave at some law school. There is a religion of America. Our founders believed in a basic religion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they just didn't prefer, you know, the Baptists over the Methodists or whatever.
Right.
I have the book we wrote, Forever 1776. I got another book was sent to me, and this is the best book that I have been sent in my whole time at the Power Hour. It's called America's Revolutionary Mind by C. Bradley Thompson. We're going to try to get him on. I mean, I guess we can get him on. His agent sent it to us, so
yeah.
I'm sure we'll get him on.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get him on sometime. But he goes over in this book the mind, exactly what it says, America's Revolutionary Mind, the mindset, the ideas, the concepts. You can see, as through time goes, the evolution of America's mind, America's heart, America, mm-hmm. what it means, and what our founders meant. By the Revolution, by the Declaration of Independence, by the Bill of Rights, all these things. You can see it, and you can feel it, and it is so unbelievably powerful. The other book, Judah's Scepter, Joseph's Birthright, and another book about our hidden inheritance that Wes from Idaho actually sent it to me, about Israel, you know, going through the Caucasus Mountains in 700 B.C. or something like that. I don't remember. But
ended up here.
And then going back and forth through Rome, through Greece, through Rome, then back to Western Europe, and then to here. This is very important, especially people who believe in the Bible. You know, if you're listening, you may believe in the Bible. You may not believe in the Bible. You may be religious or not religious, or you may be spiritual. You may, whatever, along the spectrum is the spectrum. And I've said many times, the point where we can all agree, where we can all meet, there really is only one point where people of general morale, I'll say general morality, mm-hmm. you know, generally moral people, there's only one political place that we can meet, really one place, period, that we can meet, and it's at the Declaration of Independence.
Yep.
That's
absolutely.
It.
Not at church.
Well, not now.
Not now.
And certainly not now. And, you know, 1776, yes, not now.
That was a great time. You had the ministers out there taking off their robes and let's go shoot some redcoats. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah.
They were leaders back then.
Well, you know, to be fair, not all of them, but a good percentage.
No, yeah, right.
You know, you may say 20, 30, 40% of the preacher, you know, probably 15 to 20 were really aggressive.
That's
you know,
right.
Another 20% were sympathetic and
right.
you know and then another half, the half left or whatever, they were probably loyal to England. And then 10% of them were probably
spies.
Yeah. Yeah, or whatever. So there was a
Charlie
lot.
Charlie over here, he's planning a revolution.
He sits in church and he doesn't sing God Bless the King.
Yeah.
Or Queen.
Yeah.
He whistles Yankee Doodle Dandy while everybody else sings God Bless the Queen.
Yeah.
What is there anything else you want to say before I
nope.
start in this?
No, I'm gonna looking forward to it.
Okay.
It's gonna be a good
I think so. And I have a lot of ideas, a lot of concepts, and some of these, and you know, the one thing, and I don't want people to take this wrong, I'm not saying this the wrong way. You know, when I look back on this, I see this, and I see how few people are talking about this on radio. This is the solution, ladies and gentlemen. You want to talk, what's the solution with America? I promise you, with everything I believe in, God willing, and the creek don't rise, in the next hour and a half, you are going to get a concept or an understanding of what the solution is for this country. This is it. And the other side of the coin is there is no other solution.
Yeah. Well, isn't that?
Not only is this a solution, it is the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And the very few people that I see talking about this with real aggression and real depth, I look back on it, you know, and when I first start, you're like unsure. And as I go into these and I start to feel these and I'm becoming more convicted, what do you think that does to me when I start looking out and I do not see anything reflecting back?
Mm.
It scares the hell out of me. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. The Tinkerbells and snowflakes have no answer. Well,
it's not only that. People, Tucker Carlson, you might hear something here, or Hannity. You're talking about major voices. We're not a major voice.
No.
We're not a small radio show, but we're not a major voice. I mean, to the people listening, hopefully we have a value too, but what do you think that and so if I'm sitting here and I know that this is the solution. And I'm putting this out in the world and basically right in the middle of a beast system. What do you think that does to me? So, as V for Vendetta said, ideas are bulletproof. And these ideas and concepts, and just like preachers in the 1740s and what have you, Britain really didn't pay attention. Hopefully, the government or whatever, hopefully they just won't pay attention because it seems very innocuous. Or you're talking about old things or whatever. In anything I say, I don't want you to get the idea like I'm advocating armed resistance to the government. Anything I say, don't take it that way. But I'm going to do my best and put these thoughts together, and we're going to have a discussion, and we'll go from there. A quote by Victor Hugo. His most famous quote, probably. No army can stop an idea whose time has come. And in the revolutionary times, it was ideas. So all the world can come together. And you're seeing that all across. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what even China says to Hong Kong. No army can stop an idea whose time has come. We had Bradley Nelson on yesterday who was discussing your thoughts and what is created with your thoughts and what is part of you and your essence and the quantum reaction that goes on when you think things. People's conceptions of themselves, their self-identities, and again, I've told you this over and over, this is a war of self-identity. Who are you? And as your ideas go out, and what reflects back to you is a result of those ideas. Now, in that, what rules? Robert Frost, I've said, these quotes I've said many times, but I'm putting them all together. The founding fathers didn't believe in the future, they believed the future in. They were so convicted and they believed in something so profoundly that they overcame history. They overcame Britain. They overcame, tradition. They overcame the mindsets. The reason I keep bringing up the story about my uncle, about 6 months and, 9/11, because it shows you the paradigms. If you want to change paradigms and shift them, how dramatic it is, how painful it could be, how what this process is, and this idea, the idea has to get in. What did you say, Kev? Was you could not get over the idea of what?
The biggest hurdle that I had, I'd see the different oddities, and I said that doesn't look right. That doesn't look right. Especially on the picture of the. The day after, or 2 days after, the World Trade was down, there was a huge beam that was looked like it was burnt and cut. And I was thinking, boy, that looks like it was cut, not bent,
crashed. Yeah.
And I used to work with steel too, and it was definitely cut with something, whether thermite or a torch or whatever. That beam was cut, but I couldn't grasp that. Somebody, some American, would do this, would allow this. That was the biggest thing for me. I just couldn't put that aside.
Even though it's right there in front of your face.
Right there in front of me. The hole in the Pentagon. Where's the rest of the plane? I had them questions too. Where's the rest of the plane? And blowing seven, building seven. Okay, we're going to blow it. Well, why are they going to blow it?
But I how are they going to blow it?
Yeah, well, why are they going to blow it? But I pushed them all aside because I thought that the person that was in the White House was a person like me and would never, ever do anything against the American people. Once I realized that there's psychopaths, people that are drawn to power, a lot of them are psychopaths. Once that got into my psyche, then everything else fell into ship into place. And I said, oh, gosh, Dan was right. I'm going to have to suck some crow.
The paradigm that our founders had to overcome, there are several of them. But one of them is kind of exactly what Kevin's saying, that our lives are good. Britain's not, I'm not a slave. There were slaves around. Britain introduced slave. That's another issue.
Right.
I'm not a slave. What do you mean? What are you talking about? This isn't so bad. And also the idea of that the king was wrong, that the king was offending God, that these are all just monumental, radical yeah. concepts. For a British subject in 1750s, yeah. 1760s. We're about to go to break. I'll read a couple quotes. Samuel Adams, if this is not the most famous quote on the subject, it is right up there on this type of thing. What does it take to succeed? Samuel Adams, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of man. And I got an email from Chris. I want to shout out to Chris. Chris wants to get a movement going to get people to put Bill of Rights on their refrigerator and make a big social media thing like that.
Good.
We want to support Chris. Tremendous, this is a tremendous idea.
Absolutely.
At the end of his emails, you know what he always puts? Chris. And he puts, brush fire starter.
Ah, excellent.
I love
we
that.
We got to support him.
Well, we're gonna do what we can and see what we can figure out here. But Chris, shout out to you. Great idea. On the other side, we're going to get into this Toot Sweet and Forthwith and America. We're going to delve into your inheritance, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned to PowerHour.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. 817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores all love to eat. Yum!
Just got an email from Jenny saying that Epstein's guard, supposedly, she just heard something, got arrested. So we'll look into that. I don't know exactly what the deal is, but I don't want to distract what we're doing, but check that out. If you can. Also, at the Power Mall, we got a lot of great specials. Of course, the Vitamir. Look, can we buy toothpaste from us? Can we buy mouthwash? Can you do that for us? Can you make a donation? Can you help us out? I'm asking, can you help us out here? You know, the Revolutionary Soldiers, Washington, when they crossed the Delaware, a lot of them didn't have shoes. They did not have shoes. They wrapped their feet. Their feet were half frostbitten and bloody. There was blood in the snow, literally, this is not an exaggeration, as they marched out from the Delaware River over to the Hessian stronghold there in Trenton. They didn't have shoes. We need shoes. So you, the one that provides us the shoes. So thank you so much for what you're doing. 10% off North American Urban Spice, the Oreganol, all the great things there. The, what's the one? Oh, Bone Active. We use the Bone Active for the children. We use that quite a bit. And the black seed oil and what have you, the living clay, the bentonite clay. We're going to have Perry on the end of the week, and we'll get her response to Tristan's story about her spider bite. You can't believe how good her spider bite looks now. And, of course, the silver lozenges and the silver gel, we got those sold out. For all I know, we're sold out again. I don't know. The people, I love those silver lozenges. Activated charcoal is now back at the Power Mall. My, one of my little girls got, she was throwing up yesterday. What did we do? A little charcoal and some water. She drank it. She, rested for a little while. She threw up again, a charcoal everywhere, pulled it right out. And today she feels fine. She's running around tormenting the other children now too. just like that. So there you go. New customers get 10% off their first order using the code FIRST10 at checkout or telling Jay at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. And the address, if you want to send, you know, whatever card. I got a card from Mike the other day. Thank you, Mike, again. That was very nice. Your sentiments, thank you. The Power Hour, care of P.O. Box 519, Marshfield, Missouri, 65706. P.O. Box 519, Marshfield, Missouri, 65706. Buy from the good guys at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829. 9829. All right. I've got Kevin. Kevin's left the studio. So it's just me in here because this is, there's a lot of information and some of this, I've never talked in public about this. And so I got to concentrate. Some of it have. So some of this you will have heard, some of this you will have not. If you're a new listener, this is the most important information for our country as we go forward. We often hear this idea, well, what does America need to do? Well, we need to return to God. What does that even mean? It's become so, generic and whatever, nobody can even define it. Hopefully we're going to be able to find it. The answer to your question, yes, that's true, but what does that mean? What did our founders say? They had a certain perspective, without doubt. The biggest news story in the world over the last few years, and certainly the next few years coming up in the world, is will America uphold the Declaration of Independence, or will we succumb to the siren song of globalism and what that means? This is the culmination of so much progress. the greatest moment in man's history, there's a few of them, and one of them certainly, and the greatest in the last couple thousand years, is the Declaration of Independence. From the fall of man, we believe that, and the founders believe that, the fall, descent of morality, descent of reason, and then a rising back up through the Mosaic Law, through whatever happened in Western Europe, the Protestant Reformation, this idea of enlightenment, then coming across into America. These were Israelites by blood. These two great books I mentioned earlier, Judas Scepter, Joseph's Birthright and Our Hidden Inheritance, both detail this very convincingly. When William Bradford came across with the Mayflower Compact, when he landed, he dedicated the land to Jehovah. This was a mission. This was a quest to start a new Jerusalem. This was an idea. This was a concept that there was going to be a place of freedom. There was going to be a place where God would rule, where morality would rule, and that this land was dedicated by William Bradford's and his company. It's called the law. excuse me. It's called the law of 10%, or the law of the tipping point of 10%. People have written books about it, where sociologists have studied a group of people. And they have said that once you reach 10% of the population that is convicted about an idea, willing to proselyte, willing to push, willing to tell people, and immune to resistance, once you reach that tipping point, if you have 9%, things move extremely slow. Once you hit 10%, it's like a flashbang. It's like putting gasoline on a fire that barely is lit. It catches flame. And the ideas that we're going to present here, that we are presenting, this is up to you. And the ideas you hold are the future that we share. And the concepts that you believe in, and the convictions you have, and your belief and your faith in Almighty God, or in your own divinity that has been given to you by God, if you don't believe in God, I'm not trying to divide people by bringing up God or saying, so please don't take that. People have different perspectives. I want to respect those, but we all have an overarching morality and a understanding of our creation, right? We can agree on that. I hope we can. And if you don't, you probably not listen to the broadcast. So that's kind of the point. There's a moment in the Revolutionary War where there's a platoon is actually led by Benedict Arnold, which is pretty ironic. He was a real asset to America till he wasn't. But anyway, they were on their way and they stopped at a cemetery of all places. And in the cemetery, they went and they opened up the tomb of George Whitefield. How macabre that is. I mean, just how weird. They opened up the tomb of George Whitefield. He still had his clothes on. He hadn't been dead. He'd been dead a few years. And they took his collar off of his body. And they cut up his collar into little pieces. And they gave it to everyone in the platoon. And they each felt a connection to this and a valuable understanding of what George Whitefield had meant to them. And who is George Whitfield? That who is this man that they would open his tomb, been dead for years, take his collar, cut it up in little pieces, and hold it with them and put it on, you know, in their pocket or pin it to them or whatever, and carry it with them to war. So when people tell me about, oh, America's war wasn't over, it wasn't religiously based, or it wasn't this based, or what, it's ridiculous. George Whitefield was a preacher. He was an Anglican preacher in Britain, and he got kicked out of the Anglican church. He came to America, and he started a place for orphans. He started an orphanage in Georgia, a couple other places, I think. He went around raising money and began to preach. And he had a theatrical background, and he began to bring the Bible alive to the people. What did he tell the Americans that made them so revolutionary, that made them pull the collar off his dead body and cut it into pieces? He told them that God is intimately connected with them, intimately concerned about them, that the Bible, the stories of the Bible, are not far-off stories. These are stories about us. These are stories connected to us, our heritage, our future, our everything. Does not have an exclusive connection to God, that people had personal connections to God. Well, this conviction and this idea, more than anything else, you know, the Great Awakening, you know, George Whitefield wasn't the only one, but he's the most famous. This belief, and that seems almost silly to think, oh, well, of course that's true. You know, we're all directly connected to God, right? In 1740s, people, that wasn't true. There was tradition. There was superstition. There was, you know, Jefferson called it monkish ignorance. The idea that the king was connected and held our responsibility to God, and that he spoke for God. Well, this blew apart. If the king doesn't speak for God, you can see how that idea spread. He was speaking to 10 to 15,000. You're talking about a country of about 3 to 4 million people. He would speak in cities to 10 to 15,000 people. Okay, you know, you have a big concert or somebody's going to perform in the city. That's about how many they'll draw. I mean, maybe some stadium tours or whatever. But a big artist will draw that now in a country of 330 million. This was 1750s, and he was drawing 10 to 15,000 in these cities. You don't think people wanted to hear this? They had either heard him before, they had somebody had given a leaflet about it, or they had read a leaflet, you know, somebody told them, hey, you got to come see this, or they saw a leaflet. Benjamin Franklin tells a story. Benjamin Franklin is not religious at all. You know, he was moral, and he was into logic and into reason and into those kind of things, but to say he was, you know, champion of the Anglican Church or something would be ridiculous. He was the antithesis of the Anglican Church. He couldn't believe, it was kind of the spectacle, there's 10 to 15,000 people coming to Philadelphia to hear some person speak. That's ridiculous. He came to the area, he saw the crowd, and it overflowed. He couldn't believe the crowd. He outlined in chalk the crowd so he can kind of get an estimate and kind of figure out how many people were there. And then George began to speak. George began to bring the Bible alive. It was very theatrical. The Bible became alive in the hearts of the listeners. Benjamin Franklin, they passed the plate for donations. He said, I'm not giving a dime. I'm not giving a dime to this person. The speech went on. The plate came around again. He said, well, okay. I mean, maybe he's got a point here. I'll give the copper. I'll just give the copper. You know, there was copper, like pennies and whatever back then. So it went around again. He said, well, I'll give the silver. And by the end of the thing, he said, well, I'll just give the whole thing. I'll give everything in my pocket to this guy. That's how moved Benjamin Franklin was. One of the foremost minds of the revolution. The idea, the concepts, the conviction, the fervor, what they held, what was important to them, is that they were connected to God. That the king did not have an exclusive right to speak for God, that God was concerned about them individually. This exploded into politics. It exploded over the colonies. The last letter of Thomas Jefferson, that he ever wrote. He was asked to be at the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. I don't know if you knew that. Him and Adams were still alive, and they both died on Independence Day, but they were asked before this. And here's what he said. May it be to the world what I believe it will be, speaking of the Declaration of Independence, to some parts sooner, to others later, but finally to all, the signal of arousing men to burst the chains under which monkish ignorance and superstition had persuaded them to bind themselves and to assume the blessings and security of self-government. What was he saying? The monkish superstitions of the Catholic Pope, of the Anglican preacher, priest, or whatever, who told them what God wanted for them, that then the political bands who told them people what they needed for their lives. This is superstition. This is ridiculousness. I mean, really. To say, have somebody to direct your life like this and have such control over you is superstition. It's not even, doesn't even have a basis in law. It doesn't even have a basis in nature. It doesn't even make sense when you reasonably examine the history of the world and you look at this. This is insane. George Whitefield planted that idea in the American colonies. And it spread, and it spread really fast. The bigger question became, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Began to ask these questions. Before, it's like, well, my purpose is, you know, I go to work and I work for my family, whatever, and the king tells me what to do, and blah, 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 blah. In the old world, you know, you can kind of get a sense of that. In the new world, there was automatic more freedom just because they were separated from the old world. But then as the old world began to encroach back on, it's like, wow, I just left Britain, or my grandparents left Britain to get away from this, and now you're bringing this over here. You know, so they were in America. There was a period, 1740s up until 1760s, where they were free to kind of even think these things. And to tell you how innocuous or benign that Britain thought of George Whitefield, you know, they may have kicked him out of the Anglican Church, but they really didn't care anything about what he was saying to these colonists. That changed rapidly about preachers. They realized this, and they knew they had made a mistake. In the 1740s, they're speaking. Every founding father, virtually everyone of any significance, heard George Whitefield and was influenced by him. Think about that. Why do you think they stopped, dug a dead body out of their tomb, and cut his collar as they were going to mortal battle? What was their flag? What was their banner? Their banner, their flag, their destiny was wrapped in the concept that God was intimately concerned about them, God was directly connected to them, and that God had given them the ability and the right to direct their lives as they saw fit. And they had a piece of the collar of a dead preacher on their person as they went to then kill and bash and destroy other men in defense and fight for this idea. Powerful. I'm going to do some quotes and get some ideas back from the founding fathers. I'm going to give me a second. It may take me a second to flip through these books and whatever. I got the page numbers written down and everything. Play the Jeopardy music. Just kidding. Oh, I found it. Here we go. There is a time when, in the 1760s, and people like Adams is a little different than Jefferson. Jefferson and Madison thought very similar. These are some of the, Hamilton, these are some of the greatest minds, really, the Americans ever seen. Certainly the greatest minds of the Revolution, Patrick Henry, certainly. There was a time when, you know, Britain began to change the way things were operated. America was pretty much left to themselves. They were on the outskirts of the world, basically. That was part of it. And so they were left to to exercise these discussions and exercise these ideas. And these ideas began to swirl and a cauldron came up. And the effect of the covenant of William Bradford that this land would be dedicated to Jehovah and the sacrifice that their forefathers, you know, they talk about their forefathers. They talked about William Bradford, just like we talk about Thomas Jefferson, began to swell. There was a moment in the 1760s, the Stamp Act of 1764-5, when Britain began to really try to rein in the colonies. And it was, if you take it by itself, you're like, oh, Britain wants to charge a stamp tax or a sugar tax. And, you know, many people said, well, you know, they need money or whatever. That's, you know, this is, it's not that big a deal. John Adams, to his credit, began to immediately look at that and warn that this was going to lead to slavery. It's like, wow, are you kidding me? I mean, you talk about a forethinking mind. You talk about inspired by God, Jefferson, some other people began to talk the same thing, some of the preachers. This was such foresight. And in parallel with this today, and you see certain things, you look at them, and so many of the guests that we have, and what other conclusion can you come to but that, wow, this is leading to slavery. This is leading to a global control financial system to take my assets, to then enslave me by making me poor and take away my choices, and then leads me to what? To transhumanism, to a different, you know, what it means to be human, to take away what it means to be human. So we're going to go to, I'm looking at all this, and I see even the cop who arrested me, or told me, or the general warrant that was executed on me, and why I got the nickname 2250. So if you take that by itself, it's like, it's not, all right, whatever, that's an inconvenience. Adams was able to look at it and to forecast and say, this is leading to slavery, we got to get on this now. Jefferson, many of the other people. Jefferson himself warned in his 1774 summary view of the rights of British America that single acts of tyranny may be ascribed to the accidental opinion of a day, but a series of oppressions begun at a distinguished period and pursued unalterably through every change of ministers too plainly prove a deliberate and systematical plan of reducing us to slavery. How can the history of the present king of Great Britain is the history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over the states? That last sentence came directly from the Declaration of Independence. How can we not look at what we're seeing in America and say this is going for a tyranny? This is knocking us off our position. This is in violation of George Whitefield's position where God is intimately connected to you. Hey, remember that concept. People say, I'm not, this isn't tyranny. Life is fine. What are you talking about? This is what you think and what we think in the 21st century about our relation to government, whatever, because we have been poisoned and we have been pulled away from what they thought, their minds, their ideas, their concepts, what drove them. This is what I want to discuss and maybe inject. They would look at today just as they looked at then. And say, no, this is tyranny. This is absolute tyranny. This is takeover of who we are as a person. And this is disgusting. And this is worth dying and fighting for and what have you. Its principle is defined by the, quote, laws of nature and of nature's God. That's not my words. That's from the Declaration's purpose. The purpose of everything they were doing was to look at the laws of nature and being in line with them, to look at the nature of God, the blessings of God, the structure of the overarching purpose of man, and say what fits to the purpose of man, what fits to the purpose of creation, what type of government does that? And they saw Britain, and they looked at these new quote-unquote laws coming from Britain, and they said they do not jive with the laws of nature. Therefore, if nature gives us freedom, it's an absolute self-evident truth that nature gives us freedom and life. Britain is not honoring that freedom and life, that law of nature. Therefore, this is tyranny. These are very, very black and white moments. And people were forced to go one way or another, and the gray area became not a safe place, a very perilous place. As did the extremes. It all became perilous because these ideas began to clash. The law of 10%, the Samuel Adams, brush fires in the minds of men, the hearts of men. This idea, this compelling belief that God had given you something, and if somebody wants to manipulate that and then twist your loyalty and to subdue it to some man-made power, that is the ultimate tyranny. These are not my words. I am paraphrasing and doing it very badly what they wanted to do and what they said. And we'll get into some more of these quotes, and we'll go look at the time. We got about a minute or so before the break. Alexander Hamilton will go. Let's see here. What page? Okay, first, there's a Reverend Abraham Williams. To give you an idea of the preachers. I've told you over and over about the preachers, the ideas. This wasn't isolated to certain people. This idea, this concept was just exploded. Why is Samuel Adams the father of the revolution? Because he wrote circular pamphlets and passed them all over the country, all over the states, throughout. These ideas spread like wildfire. Reverend Abraham Williams described the laws of nature as those rules of behavior, the relation the men bear one to another. The nature's laws are the measure of right and wrong. We refer to them in all cases as citizens, and on that reference is founded the security of our properties, our persons, and our rights. Right and wrong, and our rights, and the laws of nature. This is the revolution. Stay tuned. Much, much, much more.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.